Passage that Brother Grant just read for us, we have Paul and Silas on their second missionary journey, and they go to Thessalonica, and they go into the synagogue where there would be a lot of Jews, and they go there on three different Saturdays or Sabbaths and reason with them from the Scriptures. And the Jews that are there in Thessalonica don't like that, don't appreciate that, and they basically run them out of town. And they go from there straight to Berea, and they go into the synagogue again, where there would be Jews, and they reason with them from the Scriptures again. But this time, as we read in verse 11 of Acts 17, things go very minded or more noble than they did in Thessalonica. It says here in verse 11, these were more fair-minded or more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. And so there's an entirely different reaction in Berea. This morning, I want to spend some time talking with you about those Bereans and asking us this question, if we are Bereans today. In our approach to the Scriptures and our acceptance of the Scriptures, there were so many noble things about these Bereans, and we want to look at their characteristics and their attributes and make sure that those things exist in our lives today. The first thing we want to look at about the Bereans is that these Bereans were without prejudice. Paul and Silas came preaching something completely new, completely different than the Bereans had heard before. It was foreign, it was strange, and yet they didn't shut them out. Notice how the Thessalonians described what Paul and Silas were teaching as we look at some folks who did have prejudice. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it says that they called out to the rulers of the city, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Thessalonians didn't want anything to do with this new and strange teaching that Paul and Silas had brought. And yet the Bereans were willing to accept it because they were without prejudice. How would you have responded to this? Someone coming teaching something different than what you had heard in the past. Something new. What would you have said about their teaching? How would you have reacted? I know how some would have reacted or how some would react today. Some would say, well, wait a minute, this can't be. This stuff that Paul and Silas are teaching, it can't be because that's not what my grandmother and my grandfather believed. They must be wrong. What kind of false teaching are these guys trying to sell anyways? My pastor says just the opposite of what Paul and Silas are teaching. I can't go along with that. My pastor says something different than that. Still others would say, well, these guys are completely out in left field. After all, I went to a Christian college and I sat at the feet of a lot of smart people who taught me something different than this. I'm not buying it. These guys have got to be wrong. Or I don't know about that. All my friends, all the people I go to church with, they believe something different than what Paul and Silas are teaching. I'm not sure about that. Well, I've got my questions and my doubts because there's a person I've always looked up to in the church. He had a lot of gray hair. He knew his Bible front ways and backwards. And he said something different than that. I'm not sure about that. A lot of people react that way to the truth today, don't they? Yet these Bereans were free from this type of prejudice to the truth. They approached the truth differently than that. Even though these things that they heard were completely and entirely different than what they'd heard before, they were free from prejudice. And we've got to be very careful that we're free from prejudice in our life as well. Jesus talked about people like this as he talked about a prophecy that was made by Isaiah and how the people would be prejudiced against the truth, and it can be this way in our lives as well if we're not careful. In Matthew 13, verse 14 beginning, and then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and that, so that I should heal them. Jesus came to people in the first century desiring to heal them, and yet their prejudices were so strong that even though they saw Jesus with their own eyes and heard Jesus with their own ears, they were not willing to accept the truth. And what's scary about that is these were religious people, weren't they? People who knew the scriptures. People who would claim to love God and want to do His will, and yet they were prejudiced against the truth. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't hear it. And this is a warning not only for them, but also for you and for me. It could happen to you and to me. Even if we had the best teacher and preacher in the world presenting that to us, as they did in Jesus, and yet they still couldn't see the truth because of their prejudice. The Bereans weren't that way. They were free from prejudice. I want to tell you something else. They were also without agenda. They didn't have an agenda. The people in Thessalonica clearly did. In Acts chapter 17, verse 5, notice what is said about the Jews there who resisted Paul and Silas. In Acts 17, verse 5, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house adjacent and sought to bring them out to the people. There was an agenda here by these Jews who didn't believe. They were envious. For whatever reason it may be, maybe it was the power, maybe it was the authority that they had, maybe it was the influence that they had. For some reason, they became envious. They had an agenda, a personal agenda that kept them from being willing to accept the truth. And many people today, when presented with the truth, are unwilling to accept it because they've got some type of personal agenda that keeps them from accepting the truth. Maybe it is the agenda that people want to be popular or take a popular position, one that everyone agrees with and appreciates. People ask the question, what do most people believe? Or what will gain me the most friends? That's what I want to believe. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says here that he didn't have that agenda. And it's clear from the way that he's been teaching here in Thessalonica and in Berea that he doesn't have an agenda to be a people pleaser. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, for now do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul says, I'm not in this game of trying to be popular. I'm not playing this game of trying to put my finger to the wind and say, what do most people think? What's going to gain me the most friends? We can't be that way either. That type of agenda will keep us from accepting the truth. And still others today are not willing to accept the truth because they want power. They're power hungry. They want to take a position that will gain them a following. They want to be in a position where everyone looks to them and follows them. This was the kind of agenda that John experienced in 3 John verse 9. In 3 John verse 9, John writes, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Diotrephes wanted this power. Diotrephes wanted people coming to him, and so he wasn't going to accept the truth, and he was trying to limit the acceptance of the truth by others because of this power. Closely related to this is the idea that people have of what position can I take that will attract the largest crowd, that will make the church the biggest. Struggle for power, the hunger for power, keeps people from accepting the truth. There's still yet another agenda that people have often that keeps us from accepting the truth, and that is the agenda to try and justify ourselves or to defend ourselves. Many times when people are presented with the truth, they struggle with the question and the dilemma here. Now, if I accept this as being true, well, that's going to mean that I was wrong for a long time. That means I'm going to have to admit that I was wrong. I don't want to do that. Or if I admit that this is true, then that's going to make me look bad. That's going to make it look like that I'm wrong or I don't understand what the Bible says. If I accept this clear teaching from the Scriptures, then I'm going to sort of look bad because of all the things I've said in the past. I don't know if I want to do that. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus encountered a lawyer who struggled with this same type of agenda, this same type of dilemma when he was presented with clear teachings from Jesus that he didn't want to accept. He tries to defend himself. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, "You have answered rightly, this do, and you will live.' But he," that being the lawyer, "wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" You see, the lawyer had been presented with pretty clear teaching, had he? Hard to deny. And yet he wants to justify himself. Well, who's my neighbor? And don't we see a lot of people like that today? And sadly, haven't we been that way at times in our lives? When we're presented with clear teaching from God's Word, and we're faced with the fact that, well, you know what? I've not lined up with that. I've taught things that were different than that. I've practiced things that were different than that. I've had attitudes that were different than that. You know, if I accept that as being true, I'm going to have to go and make a lot of apologies. I'm going to have to fix a lot of things, aren't I? That might tarnish my reputation that I'm trying to display here to other people. I don't know if I'm going to accept that. I want to defend myself or justify myself. And the list could go on and on with the agendas that people have that keep them from accepting the truth. But there's a real problem and danger with agendas, and we need to be on guard against them. Do I have an agenda in my life? Do you have an agenda in my life that's keeping me from accepting the truth or keeping you from accepting the truth? When we have an agenda, we can't be open to the truth like the Bereans were. And so the Bereans were noble because they were without prejudice when they were presented with the truth. They didn't have an agenda. They were open-minded and ready to accept the truth. I want to tell you, there's one thing that's very critical when we have to couple with these other two characteristics that the Bereans had, is that they used the correct standard. Because there were strange things being taught, and strange things can be very, very dangerous if we don't use the right standard in judging those strange things. Many people were teaching strange things in those days, and many people continue to teach strange things today. The Bereans accepted those strange things, and they're commended for that, but many are accepting strange things that are going to send their soul to hell. The difference is the standard that we use to determine whether those things ought to be accepted or not. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul warns about being carried about by every wind of doctrine, every strange thing that comes down the pike. And there are some people who are willing to accept and buy everything that comes to them, that everything that's taught, they're willing to accept it. And that's not fair-minded or noble when we do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It's dangerous, the many strange and different things that are taught. There is great danger in that. And many souls have been lost and will be lost by that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, In 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7, gullible women here are presented, or silly women, as the King James presents it. And it's not just limited to women. There are many gullible and silly men as well who have bought things that they shouldn't have bought and believe things they shouldn't have believed based upon false teachers. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, beginning, "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts," notice verse 7, "always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." These are people who are always looking for something, and they're willing to accept any strange and different and foreign idea that may be taught. But they don't go back to the Scriptures and use the right standard. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, notice again what's told about the Bereans. Why it was good that they were open-minded when it's coupled with this idea that they're using the correct standard. Look at verse 11 again of Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word." Those things were so. They were open-minded. They were without prejudice. They were without agenda. And so they could receive the things that were taught and objectively look at them and compare them with that absolute authority, the authority of God's Word. That sounds a lot like what we read in Psalms 9, verse 9 beginning. Psalm 19, verse 9 beginning. "The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Notice verse 11 of the 19th Psalm. "Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." This is why it's so important. God's Word is the standard that we have to judge our life by, that we have to model our life by. We have to use that standard to compare everything that we're taught. We've got to be without prejudice. We've got to be without agenda. We've got to accept the things that we're told and compare them with what God has said to know if they're true or not. We need to be like those Bereans. How many have been led away today from the truth? Because instead of searching the Scriptures daily, they were searching some book written by a human daily. And making their decisions about how to live their life based upon some book that somebody wrote who a lot of people thought was smart or enlightened. How many people have been led away from the truth today because they listened to some preacher who told them something that sounded really good, that made a lot of sense without searching the Scriptures and making sure that it was so? How many people have been led away from the truth because some dear family member said it was so? Grandma or grandpa that I respect and I love said it was so, and so I take it and I believe it and I practice it without searching the Scriptures. We need to be ready to accept the truth because it's the truth. And the only way to know if it's the truth is by searching the Scriptures as those Bereans did and use the correct standard. There's some other characteristics that these Bereans had that were very noble and admirable, and that is they were hungry for the truth. Not only did they accept it without prejudice and without agenda and by comparing it with the correct standard, there's a great hunger in their life for the truth. And we see that back in verse 11 of Acts 17 again. It says they searched the Scriptures daily. They wanted the truth desperately. And I don't doubt that the Bereans were just as busy as you and I are. They had jobs. They had families. They had interests. They had community activities to engage in. They had busy lives in Berea, no doubt. I don't think the Bereans were sitting around with nothing to do. I don't know if they had paint and could watch it dry. They maybe had ice in the wintertime. They could watch it melt. But they had more things to do. They were busy people. And yet they still were searching the Scriptures daily. They had a hunger for the Scriptures. And the Scriptures here no doubt refer to the Old Testament Scriptures. That's the Scriptures they would have had. But we need to remember that it wasn't nearly as easy for them to search the scriptures then as it is today. They didn't have computerized scriptures that make it easy for them to have. They didn't have ready access to the scriptures. Many of them probably didn't even have their own copy of the scriptures. And so searching the scriptures for the Bereans would have meant going to the trouble to go to the daily scripture readings that would have been there in the synagogues, where they could have heard the scriptures taught. And searching the scriptures daily would have been them thinking about the things that they had heard and the scriptures likely that they had memorized and put to heart. And considering what Paul and Silas had taught with those things that they'd heard and that they'd memorized. And yet their hunger for that drove them to it. Their attitude toward the scripture sounds a whole lot like the psalmist's attitude towards those who are living like God wants them to live in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1, beginning of verse 1, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful." Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The psalmist here talks about someone who's hungering for truth. The Bereans hungered for truth, and they searched the scriptures daily. Could that be said of us? You know, we lead busy lives today as well, don't we? We lead very busy and full lives. Are we too busy, though, to be searching the scriptures daily? Are we reading our Bibles regularly? Are we too busy? Are we meditating on our Bibles and our scriptures daily? You know, I can't read my Bible all day every day, and you can't either. But I can think about my Bible day and night, as the psalmist says that man does. We need to be meditating on God's Word and searching God's Word that way as we think about it and think about how to apply it in our lives. How can I apply scriptural principles to this dilemma that I'm facing in my life? This challenging situation that I'm facing in my life, what are some scriptural principles that I can put into application here? I need to be searching the scriptures like that. I need to be thinking about that. I need to be meditating on that. Am I doing what I just read about or I just heard about on Sunday? Am I putting that into practice in my life? I want to tell you that we've got too many distractions in our life. Too many distractions that keep us from being like the Bereans and searching the scriptures daily. We need to drive down the road with our radio turned off so we can meditate on God's Word. We need to be doing our daily chores without something plugged into our ears all the time so that we can meditate on God's Word. There's a lot of noise in the life that we live today. A lot of noise that sort of squelches that daily consideration of God's Word. We need to sit in quiet sometime and we just need to think as we look to be like the Bereans. We need to be hungering for truth like they were. We need to be living the life that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Could that be hungers and thirst for righteousness? I believe the Bereans hungered and thirst for it, and we need to be hungry for it as well. And then finally, as we look at the things that were impressive about the Bereans, the last one is perhaps the most impressive, and that is they were approved by God. The King James Version puts it like this: "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." And that's not just what some man said about them. That's not just what somebody who happened to be real impressed with those Bereans and really thought a lot of them and some fallible person said, "Those are noble Bereans." No, that's divine commentary about these people in Berea. God said they were noble. And that needs to be our goal as well. We want God's approval in our lives. Wouldn't you like that commendation from God? What if God put a stamp on you and said, "You're noble"? You know, you can get that stamp, you can have that stamp by imitating the Bereans in your life. we can obtain God's commendation in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. God will commend us if we'll put these attitudes into our lives. Accept the truth without prejudice. Don't come to the truth with prejudice in your life. Be willing to accept it, even though it may be different than what you've heard in the past. Even though it may be different than someone that you respect or honor has taught. Come without prejudice. Come without agenda. You've got nothing to prove. There's nothing that you have to try and protect if you have to admit that you're wrong. Come without agenda. Use the correct standard. Make sure that everything you believe can be found in the Scriptures. And hunger for that. Hunger for it. Be hungering and thirsting for it. And so you search the Scriptures daily. And we can be approved by God. What about you in your life? Are you a Berean? Have a challenge for all of us as we think about those noble Bereans to imitate them in our lives. If there's something in your life that's not what it should be this morning, we'd encourage you to make correction before it's too late. And if there's anything that we can do to help you, or if you just need prayers from the church, we'd encourage you to make that known while we stand and while we sing.